Okay, turn over once again to the book of Obadiah. Obadiah. We started going through this book last week. If you don't know where Obadiah is, you don't need to feel guilty of looking in the table of contents. It's okay. Go ahead and look. That's one way you learn. That's why we have it there. Look it up, turn over to that page. But this is part two in our sermon series, Obadiah, the Perils of Pride. Today we're going to focus in on verses 3 through 9. It's only 21 verses. We're going to focus in on verses 3 through 9. I read a story this week, and a lot of you probably can know that this story is true just because you know this person. Muhammad Ali was a very arrogant person, and in his heyday, he had taken a seat. He was flying out. He was taking a seat on this airplane, starting to taxi down the runway for takeoff, and the flight attendant walked by and noticed that Muhammad Ali did not have his seatbelt buckled. And she said, "Please fasten your seatbelt." He looked at her and proudly and snapped, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And without hesitation, she stared at him and said, "Superman don't need no plane." You know, Ali was indeed a very prideful person, very arrogant person, and then sounds like the nation of Edom. And as you remember, this is the nation that Obadiah is talking about. He's pronouncing God's judgment on the nation of Edom. And remember, Edom can be traced back to Esau. And the contention between Esau and Jacob continued on for years and years and years as you go through the history of God's people. And eventually, even Herod the Great could be connected to the Edomites. And we see that even Herod the Great had contention with God's people in the fact that he tried to murder Jesus when he was a baby. And so you can see this contention. And the nation of Edom, as you see there in verse 3, it says, "This is their sin. It was their presumptuous heart has deceived you." Your presumptuous heart has deceived you. That's what their sin was. My version says presumptuous heart. Maybe your version says prideful heart. But that's what their sin was. It was pride. It was arrogance. They had a presumptuous and prideful heart. They thought no one could defeat them. That's why they said, "Who can bring me to the ground?" And again, as we talked about last week, that word presumptuous, it's an adjective that means failing to observe the limits of what is permitted or appropriate. And so someone who is presumptuous is prideful and overconfident, arrogant, brazen. Kind of sounds like Vladimir Putin. This is exactly what described the nation of Edom. And so in other words, they were taking credit for their safety. They presumed to think that nothing or no one could touch them. And that's what pride does. It's self-worship. It's looking to self. Anything that we've accomplished in the world would not have been possible had it not been for God enabling us. And we have to recognize that. I don't care who you are and what you've gone through in life, the schools that you've gone to, the jobs that you have, the things that you own, had it not been for God intervening in your life, you would not have what you have. And that's exactly what Edom was saying. It's not you, God, it's us. Look what we've done. Look where we're at. No one can touch us. And they were presumptuous and prideful. And so the book of Obadiah, again, is the account of God sending Obadiah to the people of Edom. They had treated God's people badly, harshly, and so God sent Obadiah to pronounce judgment upon them. So let's read verses 3 through 9 today, and then just see exactly what it is Edom took pride in. Start in verse 3. It says, "Your presumptuous heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your home on the heights, who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you seem to soar like an eagle and make your nest among the stars, even from there I will bring you down. This is the Lord's declaration. If thieves came to you, if marauders by night, how ravaged you would be. Wouldn't they steal only what they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, wouldn't they leave some grapes? How Esau will be pillaged, his hidden treasures searched out. Everyone who has a treaty with you will drive you to the border. Everyone at peace with you will deceive and conquer you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you. He will be unaware of it. In that day, this is the Lord's declaration, I will not eliminate the wise ones from Edom and those who understand from the hill country of Esau. Teman, your warriors will be terrified, so that everyone from the hill country of Esau will be destroyed by slaughter. And so this gives us a little bit of a picture of the heart of Edom. And it shows us exactly what they were taking pride in. And as we see the things that they were taking pride in, we can see a lot of correlation in our society today, and even some things that you and I can be guilty of if we're not careful, even God's people. So what were some of the things they took pride in? Well, first of all, we see here in verses 3 and 4. Now listen, I was really proud of myself this week. I just hung myself there, didn't I? Okay, I was very pleased this week because in my sermon outline, thank you for pointing that out, brother. In my sermon outline, all my points start with the same letter. I was so happy about that. Doesn't always work out. Let me tell you, the thesaurus was working hard this week, okay? So what were the things they took pride in? Number one, they took pride in their position, right? They took pride in their position. The Edomites had a lot of confidence in their position because of the layout of the region. Edom was a very mountainous area. There were a lot of steep cliffs and places like that. It was very hard to get to. It had many caves that offered the Edomites a place to hide and the ability to launch surprise attacks against those who would invade them. And so they had even constructed strongholds in strategic areas, which made it very difficult to attack them. They had protection from a human standpoint. They were very protected. Now, if you have noticed the graphic that Jen has made for us of the sermon series, it shows a picture of Petra. And Petra was the capital of Edom. And this amazing city had a fissure that runs a mile or more right through the rock. It was a narrow file, only a few yards wide, that when you come to the end of it, it comes into an open place where temples literally had been carved out of the living rock. There had been giant temples built with doorways, some of them 25 or 30 feet high. And it was in this ancient city that the people of Edom felt that they were untouchable. No one can touch us here. So that was one thing they took pride in, their position. Another thing they took pride in were their possessions. Verses 5 and 6 talk about that. Edom, if you don't know anything about this area, Edom controlled a great trade route known as the King's Highway. It connected Damascus in the north with the seaport of Ezion along the Red Sea. And on this trade route, it provided much wealth for the Edomites. And so they were able to have commerce with all these people around them. In spite of all that, they were very rich with copper and iron mines that also provided them a lot of wealth. And so they were prideful about what they had, their possessions. Another thing they were prideful about was their peace. Verse 7. Edom for a time had many alliances with other countries. And because they had alliances with these other countries, guess what? They had alliances with their militaries. They had alliances with those who that brought them extra protection. And so these alliances, because of that trade route we were talking about, allowed them to be at peace for a time because of all this commercial relationship that they had with other people. So they were prideful about their peace. Verse 8 tells us they were also prideful about their perception. The Edomites had the perception that they were full of wisdom. And I guess they were for a time. I mean, they weren't dumb. I mean, they had constructed all these things and they did have some wisdom, but their knack for business showed that they were indeed a very perceptive people. And they knew how to manage money. And they had a lot of money. They had a lot of resource. And so they took pride in their perception of wealth, or perception of wisdom and wealth. They were also prideful in verse 9 of their power. And so in addition to their alliances with the military forces of other countries, their own armies were quite capable in their power and ability. So all these things they took pride in, we can kind of see a correlation of our culture as well. So let's break that down in our own instance today. We can take pride in the very same things today in our communities, our country, our world. We take pride in these very same things. So let's take a look at them. First of all, was their possession or their pride of in their position. Now listen, we don't necessarily take pride in the location of where we live from a military standpoint, but we can take pride in our position in life, like our status in life, right? Because, you know, we may be in a position where we're in a high position. Maybe at work we have some kind of leadership position. And we may think, you know, because of that, I'm better than everybody else. We may think that we're above other people. We may think that we've arrived or somehow we're great compared to other people. But how did Jesus view greatness? Remember the story of James and John, the sons of thunder, you know? They were having an argument. Who was going to be the greatest in God's eyes? And they were saying, listen, Jesus, let both of us sit at your right and left in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, listen, that's not for me to decide. But if you want to know what the definition of greatness is, I'm going to tell you right now. And if you looked over in Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45, this is exactly what Jesus said. Jesus called them over and he said to them, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles dominate them, for their men of high positions exercise power over them. But it must not be like that among you. On the contrary, notice, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. That's the God definition of greatness, to be a servant. And so when we take pride in our possessions and think somehow my status in life makes me better than you, we become prideful. And we become no different than the nation of Edom. So that's how we take pride in our position. But what about our possessions? You know, how easy is it to take pride in the things that we have? And I'm not saying we shouldn't take pleasure in things that we have. Listen, I have things that are very near and dear to me in my home. Things that belong to my mother, other family members, things that belong to Leslie's family, heirlooms, things that my kids made, things like that. We all understand that we have things that we have in life that are very important to us. But what happens is when we take pride in these things and they take the precedence of God or take precedence over God, that's when it becomes difficult. And we can get so attached to our stuff. It's kind of like, have you ever seen those movies? My daughter Abby is an expert when it comes to Lord of the Rings. You know, Gollum in the Lord of the Rings. What did he do when he saw it had the ring? My precious. You know, whatever he said. You know, I can't really say that like that. But that was what was important. And we can become like that with our stuff that we have. And it's easy to get so attached that we become just like that. And guys, we have to remember the promise from one of the verses that we looked at last week, Proverbs 16, remember verses 18 and 19? Probably the most well-known verse when it comes to pride. Pride comes before destruction and an arrogant spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly of spirit with the humble than to divide plunder with the proud. So in other words, saying, listen, it's better to be poor than rich and humble than it is to be prideful and have a lot of stuff. Better to be lowly of spirit with the humble than to divide plunder with the proud. Let's move on. What about in the area of our peace? How do we become prideful with our peace? Well, listen, remember the Edomites had peace of mind because everything was going their way. They were in a good strategic place militarily. They had all these alliances with people. They had these trade routes going, making lots of money. They had these rich resources that were going their way. Everything was going their way. And I want you to think about us. Think about our lives before the pandemic. You know, for the most part, we were kind of coasting through life until all that was taken away. And that happens a lot, doesn't it? Things can be going fine. We can be on the top of the world. And we put a lot of pride in this peace that we enjoy. And in an instant, it's gone. Lives totally changed. That's why we can't put our peace in this life alone. As my wife said, we can't build our kingdom here. We have to build our kingdom in heaven. And so when we put our peace in this life alone, it can be taken away from us so easily and so quickly. What about our perceptions? The Edomites were prideful about their how they perceive themselves. And listen, sometimes how we perceive ourselves can be prideful. The worship, the pride that we have, or the worship of self, the worship, the pride, is kind of like our egos, right? And how do we feed our egos? We feed our egos by gaining more knowledge, by working more hours. We find it in relationships, by attaining more stuff. This is how we feed our ego in life. And our egos, what happens? They can be easily bruised. They can be easily bruised when we get a failing grade, when we lose our job, when we get dumped by our boyfriend or girlfriend, or when stuff breaks down. That's how quickly that can change. And guys, we think we're so smart. Can I just be really honest with you today? And listen, this doesn't really describe us, because I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but I look at our country as a whole. We think we're so smart. And listen, Facebook and Twitter and really all of social media, and I have them, I use them, and they can be good and beneficial, but these social media things really has become a cesspool of people who claim to be experts in every walk of life, including sports and medicine and politics. Let me just say, just because you've read a couple of articles on the internet or follow somebody on Twitter that supports your point of view does not make you a scientist or a doctor or a coach or president or an expert in anything. And it's okay to have an opinion, but your opinion does not make you an expert. What is our source of truth? God's word. Amen? This is our source of truth. God said he opposes those who are proud. He exalts those who are humble. This means God opposes all the so-called know-it-alls. And go back and read Philippians chapter 2 sometime, verses 1 through 11. And Paul said, let your attitude be like that of Christ Jesus, who emptied himself. He did not consider equality with God as something to be held on to or attained or used for his own advantage, but he emptied himself and became a servant to all humanity by doing what? By going to the cross. And so because of that, the Bible says that God has exalted Jesus to the highest place in heaven. Guess where he's seated right now? At the right hand of the Father. And literally, one day the Bible says, literally every person who has ever walked the face of the earth or will walk the face of the earth in the future, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now for some of them it's going to be too late. But one day, everybody will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Because Jesus humbled himself. I don't know about you, but the older I get, I'm beginning to realize just how much I don't know and how wise my mother is. We have to be careful about what we think we know. We have to be careful that we don't become prideful in our perceptions of ourselves. Because it can get out of hand really quickly. And we can become just like the nation of Edom. Another thing, what about our power? Power and position are very similar to one another. People in our culture are obsessed with power today. You know, listen, people don't care who they step on or who they hurt as long as they get what they want and where they want to go. And we want to be in charge. We want to make, you know, we want to make the rules. We want what we want. And when we don't get it right away, we get upset. But this attitude is contrary to what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, listen, Matthew 16:25, Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life because of me will find it. Now, Matthew chapter 5. Now, this is a difficult passage. And one that I don't do very well in my life. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. For the one who wants to sue you and take your shirt away, let him have your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You know, the thing about it is retaliation is what most people expect and how worldly people act. But turning the other cheek, what does that require? Empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Responding to hatred with love and ignoring personal insults displays the supernatural power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When we begin to do that, it might just give us a chance to tell people about Jesus, because they see something different in our lives. Gives us a chance to share the gospel. So we can see some similarities in our lives. We can see some similarities in our culture today. And so as we think about what's before us here in the book of Obadiah and what the nation of Edom dealt with in their lives, are there any of these things that we struggle with today? Are there any of these things that we're dealing with in our lives? When we're people of pride, listen, we're no different in the world. Because pride comes from believing that we don't need God. We think that we can depend on ourselves and we can have our own strength. We have our own wealth. We have our own abilities. We don't need God. We're self-sufficient. And the sad thing is that pride is glorified in our culture today. Again, look at social media. As a nation, we've become very self-focused, and people have become so entitled that they feel as though, like Edom, that no one can touch them. No one can touch me. But in an instant, all these things can be taken away. And we see all these things happening in our lives today. And as we will learn next time, all of these things were taken away from Edom. And they were left with nothing. The same thing could happen to us. And I pray that it doesn't. I pray that we will be a people that is humble. As you've heard me say a million times in sermons that I preached, there's never an instant in the Bible, you can read from Genesis all the way through to the maps at the end of your Bible, there's never an instance where God blesses pride. Never. But he does exalt those who are humble. And I pray that we'll be those people. Father, we thank you today for what we've learned. And Lord, this has been maybe tough in a way, but Lord, sometimes necessary to hear. And I pray this morning that you would just have your way in us, that you would speak to us, that you would, Let your spirit move among us now. Lord, we truly want to hear from you. We truly want to see your movement in our lives. Father, we want to be a people that are humble. We want to be the people that you've called us to be. So, Father, have your way in us now. Work among us in a mighty way right now. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together. Amen.